Imagine a single hidden factor that drains up to 6% of a nation's GDP every single year. I mean, it's not a trade deficit. It's not a failing industry. It is childhood trauma.
Yeah, and if you're just, walking down the street, almost two-thirds of the adults you pass are carrying the effects of at least one fundamental childhood trauma.
And one in six are carrying four or more, which is just wild.
It is, and that staggering reality is exactly why today's deep dive into the Tip for Kids guidelines is so vital. We're really trying to decode how modern childhood trauma is evolving, why it fundamentally rewires human development.
Right, and why everyday adults, not just clinicians, but everyday people, are suddenly becoming the essential first line of defense.
Exactly.
So when we talk about adverse childhood experiences or ACEs, which, cover abuse, neglect, household challenges, it's really tempting to picture them as like invisible rocks a kid carries in a backpack.
Right, the old backpack analogy.
Yeah, like a parental separation is one rock, or a parent's addiction is another, but a backpack just slows you down.
Reading through these guidelines, it seems more like these experiences actually rewire a child's internal alarm system.
I mean, that is a much more accurate mechanism. It's not this passive way you carry around. It's an active physiological disruption.
Yeah.
Look at the Scottie study cited in the source material. It really illustrates the sheer volume of these broken alarm systems. In their massive sample, 30% of people reported household substance use,
Wow.
and 25% reported sexual abuse.
Wait, one in four reported sexual abuse.
One in four. Yeah, it's everywhere. And when a child's environment is constantly triggering their survival instincts, their brain just gets stuck in a perpetual state of fight or flight.
Which makes sense for, traditional household crises. But looking at the source, that fight or flight trigger is actually expanding. I mean, we aren't just talking about domestic issues anymore.
Right. The whole baseline of psychological safety is fracturing on a global scale now. Think about the COVID-19 pandemic. It didn't just pose a physical health risk. It stripped away everyday protective factors.
Like just being a kid.
Exactly. A kid lost the ability to just, go run around a playground with friends or hug a grandparent. And that removes the very mechanisms they naturally use to self-soothe and regulate that internal alarm.
And then the guidelines highlight complex migration too. You have kids facing profound displacement, family separation, just losing absolutely every familiar anchor.
Their alarm is just blaring 24/7.
Right. But if an adult is stressed, they might, I don't know, just lose sleep. A four-year-old whose alarm system is jammed on high alert is going to process that entirely differently, right? Because their brains are literally under construction.
Well, trauma kind of hijacks whatever developmental stage happens to be active right at that moment. So take a preschooler, say around 3 to 5 years old. Their brain is supposed to be pouring all this metabolic energy into rapid language expansion and, developing empathy. But if they're stuck in survival mode, the brain literally diverts that energy away from the language centers.
Oh,
It just
wow.
channels it straight into the amygdala, the brain's threat detector.
So a delay in speaking might actually be a symptom of a traumatized nervous system, not just like a learning quirk.
Yes, exactly. And then you move out to school-aged kids, like 6 to 12. Their brains are trying to build concrete logic and social rules.
But trauma scrambles those circuits.
Completely scrambles them. They struggle to form friendships or understand cause and effect, mostly because their nervous system is too busy scanning the room for danger.
And then by the time they hit adolescence, trauma is just colliding violently with all those massive physical and hormonal transitions.
Yeah, it creates a massive biological roadblock.
You know, hearing how deeply rooted this is in a child's neurology makes me a bit skeptical about the solution outlined here.
How so?
Well, the guidelines point to teachers, youth volunteers, and parents to manage this. I'll be honest, it sounds completely unreasonable to expect, like, a high school math teacher to suddenly act like a
Well,
neurospecialist.
it would be incredibly unreasonable. But trauma-informed practice, or TIP, it explicitly does not ask everyday adults to be therapists.
Okay.
It's really about early detection and practical low-level intervention.
Yeah.
It's just a shift in how an adult reacts in the moment.
What does that actually look like in a math class, though?
Well, let's say a student suddenly flips their desk and just starts yelling.
Right.
A traditional disciplinary approach sees a kid breaking a rule, labels them bad, and sends them straight to the principal's office.
Which probably just triggers more fight or flight panic.
Exactly. But a trauma-informed teacher recognizes that outburst as a nervous system overload. So the low-level intervention might just be lowering their voice, giving the student physical space, and offering a brief calming routine to help reset their alarm system.
Before ever even addressing the math problems,
right.
They aren't trying to unpack the child's past. They're literally just de-escalating the immediate neurological panic.
Yes. And this approach is actually transitioning right now from just a best practice to a legal requirement.
Really?
Yeah. Frameworks like the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and the EU Charter of Fundamental Rights are embedding this into law. It's shifting trauma response from an abstract ideal to an enforceable duty of care for institutions.
Wow. So for everyone listening, you know, trauma isn't just this abstract emotional burden. It is a tangible, unequally distributed force that fundamentally rewires a developing brain.
Absolutely.
But by giving everyday adults these practical de-escalating tools, we can actually build a legally backed safety net for kids in the environments they spend the most time in.
Which brings us to a really thought-provoking horizon. If trauma-informed care is cementing itself as a fundamental legal right for children, how long before society starts treating a lack of emotional safety in a school exactly the same in a court of law as a lack of physical safety?